We're holding on page Lamed Ches, the first line of the wide lines, middle of Osayin Gimel. We learned yesterday about the Chilukei Kapara, about the different categories of p things that a person might do wrong, violate, failing to do a mitzvah ase, doing a regular mitzvah slois ase, doing the kind that involves krisis and mitzvahs based in, and doing the kind that involves Chilul Hashem, and each one needs more and more kapara than the previous one. So the last one we mentioned was the case where a person does something that makes a Chilul Hashem, where we said that there's Tshuva and Yom Kippur and Yisurin, and on top of all that, he needs Misa, and only that will completely clean things up. So the Gemara says, Heichi Dami Chilul Hashem. What is an example of a Chilul Hashem? Now Rashi defines it as Chilul Hashem is choti machti. He himself is doing something wrong, and he's causing others to do wrong. So, what is an example of something that somebody would do that would have that effect? Omar Rav. So Rav gives an example. For example, if I would go and buy meat from the butcher, and I wouldn't give him the money, I wouldn't pay him on the spot. So in other words, the other people are, so now when I delay paying, he's going to think that I'm a gazlan, says Rashi, and therefore he's going to think that he's going to learn from me that he can be careless with gezel, that he doesn't have to be particularly careful with that. Now, of course, Marashah points out, of course, Rav is going to pay, but the point is that the butcher is going to suspect that he's not going to pay, and that makes a chilul Hashem. In fact, Marsha connects it with the previous piece. The Gemara had established that Chilul Hashem is described in the pasuk. We said, "V'niglo v'oznay Hashem tzvakas." The Navi Yeshaya said that Hashem said in my ears that a Chilul Hashem, the kind of Chilul Hashem that the Jews of his time were doing, is going to require their Misa for Kapara. And what was it where they were saying, "Horeg bacha v'shachet tzayin"? We're going to shecht and we're going to eat animals and we're going to live it up eating meat. So now, in continuation with that, then the Gemara is bringing an example involving buying meat. So when it says that, the Gemara points out, "Omer Abaye b'hani mili ba'astro d'lay tavi." Now, this is only in a place where the storekeepers don't usually go and ask for the custom and ask the customers to pay off their bills. Sometimes you have places where Rashi explains where the expected way of doing things is that the buyer himself has to voluntarily at some point go to the butcher and bring him the money, go to his house or go to his store or whatever. As opposed to, Abaya says, "Abba Asra the Tavi," if it's a place where the butcher or whatever storekeeper does demand the money, then less than brother, then there's no problem with it because then it's a known thing in such a place that people do that they sell on credit, and they know that any time when as long as they don't come ask you, can you settle your bill, then they know that it's a reasonable thing you're going to be carrying a balance with them. So therefore, that's not considered a Chilul Hashem. So in Rav's area, the usual way of doing things was a customer would buy, and the storekeeper wasn't the storekeeper didn't have the didn't did, wouldn't go to him to say when are you paying? The expectation was that the customer was eventually going to come. So now the butcher was constantly thinking, well, new, why hasn't Rav shown up yet to settle his bill? Is he maybe stealing from me? Is it maybe that stealing is not such a serious thing? As opposed to if it was Asra de Tavi, Abaya is saying, if it's a place where the butcher anytime can go to Rav's house and say, "Nu, where's my money?" then there's not a Chilul Hashem involved because then it's an understandable thing that a person carries a balance. Amar Ravina, ha masa machasya Asra de Tavi. And in fact, Ravina points out masa machasya, which Rashi says is where Ravina lived, is one of those places where the storekeepers do demand their payments, and therefore, in other words, it would be fine to buy meat there on credit. Why does Ravina have to point that out? The Tosfos Yom HaKippurim says, because the point is, Ravina is saying, in my city, we do it that way because I, or one of the Chachamim before my time, set it up that it should be that way in order to minimize the potential for Chilul Hashem. Therefore, so Ravina is hinting to us, a Rav in a city ought to, if at all possible, make this kind of rule, tell the storekeepers, from now on, do this. Be an Asra D'Tavi, be a place where you will go demand from the customers to settle their bills, and that way there's no potential of a Chilul Hashem when someone like Rav comes and buys from you on credit.
The store of meat, you walk in,
you walk
the
in, and
guy's
you
not there.
no, not the no, not not this, not the butcher is not there. You don't have money with you right now. So Rav is saying, what I would do is I would always pay right there on the spot for the meat that I'm buying. I would never say write it down for later. because potentially that could be Rav is saying, potentially that would be Chilul Hashem, because if I don't settle my bill right away, then the storekeeper or the butcher may think that I'm trying to steal from him, and he may think that stealing is not that serious a matter. Because it's writing it down, but that's what we're saying. It's Astra Deloitte Tavern. It's not a place where the butchers usually go to demand from their customers, new, when are you going to settle your bill? It's rather the other way around. The expectation is the customer is going to have to come to the store or to the house at some point in order to settle his bill. So now then there's always the concern then, well, why hasn't he come yet? Why hasn't he paid his money yet? Is he maybe trying to skip town without telling me or something? As opposed to Ba'astra de Tavi, in a place where the butchers go to people's houses and they say, "Nu, when are you going to pay up your bill?" Then it's not a Chilul Hashem, because then it's an understandable thing. In such places, they know you're going to carry things on credit and you're going to eventually pay up.
Put a sign, no credit.
So if you put a sign, no credit, well, that's in effect the place where Astra de Leitavi is in effect the place where there's no credit. That's, yeah. Okay. And the Gemara gives another example in this connection. Abaya ki avishokol bistrim ibei trei shutvi. When Abaya would buy meat from two partners, so two people owned a butcher shop in partnership, and let's say both of them weren't in the let's say both of them weren't in the store at the same time. He would pay each one separately. That way, neither one is going to think. Again, you have the same problem that one of them may not realize that the money was given to the other one and not to him. So we're not talking about, in other words, he walks into the store to buy meat. Obviously, then only the one who's behind the counter is going to know that he came in. We're talking about, let's say, that he made an order in advance that he's going to get a certain amount of meat. So both of them know that Abaya is going to be picking up X amount of meat, but neither one knows that whether the other one's been paid yet. So Abaya would pay them both, the Kavinu Adadi. Then afterwards, he would bring them together for Ovid Lohushmana, and then he would square accounts with them. Same idea. Abaya didn't want that even for a moment either of them should think, hey, Abaya is taking meat without paying. That means that stealing is not such a critical thing, and therefore he would forestall that in the first place. Obviously, it depends on the level of the person. The greater a person than a regular person, you might not expect him to have to do these kinds of things, but Rav or Abaya realize that people are going to learn from every little thing they do, and therefore they have to be extra careful. Another example. Rabbi Yochanan says, for example, there would be if someone like me, if I were to walk 4 amos without wearing tefillin and without learning Torah, then that would be an example of a Chilul Hashem. Now, I might well have a reason for it, Rashi says. I'm very weak from my learning, but people are going to learn from me that it's not so important to be learning or to be wearing tefillin all the time. Marsha says, but that explains as far as the learning, as far as tefillin, the vote would be. For example, he had a headache and he couldn't put on tefillin. But again, people wouldn't know that, and they would think it's not important to keep these mitzvahs. So therefore, he's saying that someone like me myself, or someone in my situation who does that, then that would be an example of Chilul Hashem. Interestingly, by the way, the Rambam brings in his Akdama to Yad HaChazakah, he brings that Rav was known to never go any place without tefillin or without learning Torah. So apparently the Rambam had the gears over here, not Rabbi Yochanan is saying this, but rather Rav. Anyway, another example, Rabbi Yitzchok bar Avdimi or Dvei Rabbi Yanai Omer, Kol Shechaveir of Boshin Mishmuasai. A Chilul Hashem would be when you have a person where people are embarrassed because of the rumors going around about him. So and Marsha gives an example. You find that B'nai Eli is an example of that. So when there are rumors going around about a person, so that's the kind of thing that would be an example of a Chilul Hashem. And the Gemara says, "Hechi dami." What would be an example of that? What kind of bad rumors? For example, when people say about him, Hashem should forgive Ploini, because they're saying, in other words, look how badly he's acting. May Hashem forgive him for how badly he's acting. So that would mean, in other words, says the Tosfos Yom Kippurim, it would mean then that he's changing a little bit what Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Avdimi said. Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Avdimi had said, if there's bad rumors going around him. about him. But Reb Nachman would be saying only if the rumors are only if the rumors that he was saying had said that his friends are embarrassed because of the rumors around him. But Reb Nachman Yitzchak is saying only when it's good inshi, only when people are publicly saying are saying that. Because there's a certain, so it depends actually. Many times when there's rumors going around the person, there's some basis for them. You know, in English, you have the expression where there's smoke, there's fire. So sometimes it can be because, for example, in these examples that we just had with Rav or Abaye or Rabbi Yochanan, you could have where a person does something which in and of itself is not wrong, but people can easily misinterpret it and think that he's doing something wrong. We have the concept that it says Ve'yisim Nikiyim Me'Hashem U'Me'Yisrael. Yeah, if people are stam making up a rumor that has no basis in fact, there's nothing really a person can do about that. But we're talking about apparently where there's some kind of thing that he did that makes it possible for those rumors to be going around, so then he has a responsibility about that. There are other explanations, by the way. Rabbeinu Yohanneson gives an explanation that Sharolei Mori Laplanya doesn't mean may Hashem forgive him. It means people are saying, look at the way this guy is acting, what kind of averus he's doing. Hashem, he must think that Hashem gave him permission. Shara can also mean permission. That Hashem must have given him permission to act like that, because there's no way he would be doing like that otherwise unless he thought that it was completely mutter. The Gemara actually the Gemara and the Rif actually have slightly different gersois over here, that the Kagoin da Amri Inshi is not giving an illustration of what we mean Kol Shachavera Boshin Mishmoase, but rather that it's a separate statement. Another example of Chilul Hashem is when people say Shorale Mori Laplanya, and then you have another one is Kol Shachavera Boshin Mishmoase. Okay. Abaya Omar. Abaya says, here's another example of a Chilul Hashem and the opposite. So far, we haven't really talked about what a Kiddush Hashem is, but now we'll see both of them. So Abaya says, Kiditanya. Look at the following braisa and you'll get an idea of what Kiddush Hashem versus the opposite is. The Pasuk says, Ve'ahavta es Hashem alekecha, you should love Hashem. And that means not just that you personally should love Hashem, it also means Shiyehei Shem Shamayim Mis'ahev al Yodcha. Means Hashem's name should be loved because of you. Meaning, in other words, Marisha says, because why would it say S otherwise? You can't say I have to S Hashem alekecha. You're not necessarily going to say that it means that you should love, like we have when it says S Hashem alekecha tira. So we have the famous thing that it says that Rabbi Akiva Darshan means the rabbis tamen chachamim, that you have to fear tamen chachamim the way you fear Hashem. But when it comes to Ava, Marisha says not necessarily are we assuming that the love of one's rebbe should be comparable to the love of Hashem. Therefore, it means Ve'ahavta es Hashem alekecha. What does the S add? That other people should love Hashem the same way you do. How do you accomplish that? A person will be learning Tanakh and learning Mishnayos, or Mishamish Tamar Chachamim and serving Tamar Chachamim, which means that he learns from them the Gemara, he learns the analysis of Mishnayos, and he learns all the other things that he can learn from them. Yeah, the Dibure Benachasim Abrius. Now, such a person, besides being a consummate Talmud Chacham, besides that he's gone through the different parts of Torah that he's supposed to, he speaks gently with people. He does business in the marketplace nicely and honestly. Or nicely, as in, for example, it's not even a matter of honesty, but like, for example, nicely, like, for example, he won't do, for example, a nos dvarim. You have a halacha that you're not allowed to go into a store and start asking about the price of something when you have no intention of buying. So that would be included in mekocho matone bashok noah, that he acts in an erlicha way. The noisim and noisim ben monan, he does business, he buys and sells honestly. Mahabrias omnimolov, what do people say about such a person? Ashrei ploni shalomad Torah, happy is this person who learned Torah. Ashrei aviv shalimda Torah, happy is his father, fortunate is his father who taught him Torah. Ashrei rabbi shalimda Torah, and fortunate is his rebbe who taught him Torah. So people realize, in other words, where did he develop this? Where did he develop these qualities? Must be from his father and from his rebbe. And people say, fakert, oy lahem libnei adam shalei lomdu Torah. People say, "Oy lahem levnei adam shalei lomdu Torah." In fact, woe to people who don't learn Torah, because in other words, we see that people who learn Torah and behave with such fine midas. So it would be so much better if more people learn Torah and they would develop these kinds of midas as well. because they continue saying, "Re'isim Pliny Shalom Ad Torah." Do you see? Look at Pliny who learned Torah. Kama Yofim Drachav. How beautiful are his ways? Kama Misafonim Maisav. How proper are his actions? All of Akosav Omer. This is the kind of person that the pasuk says about him. Vayomer Li Avdiata. Hashem said to me, "You are my servant, Yisrael. Asher B'chah Espar Yisrael, that I take pride in you." So a Yid acts that way. Abaye says that would be an example of a Kiddush Hashem. What about if a person has learned Torah, all the different parts, Mikra and Mishnah, and learning Talmud, but but he doesn't speak gently with people, when he's taking and giving in the marketplace, he doesn't do it in such an erlich way, he doesn't do business honestly. And we don't even have to mean that we mean that he does blatantly, like he blatantly goes and cheats customers. We can mean, in other words, like he cuts corners a little bit. But still, ma brias omrim olav, what do people omer solav, what do people say about him? Fakev, they say, oilo the plenty shalom Torah, woe to this person who learned Torah. Oilo the oviv shalim de Torah, oilo the rabbi shalim de Torah, woe to his father and to his rebbe who taught him Torah. And people say, fakev, ashrei bnei adam shalom de Torah. People are fortunate when they didn't learn Torah because you have an account, an example. Pliny Shalom Torah, Ru'u Kama Mecho Orim Maisav. This guy learned Torah, and look how ugly are his deeds. Kama Mecho Kolim Dirachav, and how messed up are his ways. All of Akosav Omer. This is the kind of person the pasuk describes. Be'emur Lahem. Hashem is talking about the tremendous Chilul Hashem that's caused by Golus. Hashem says, Be'emur Lahem. The Goyim say about the Jewish people, I'm Hashem Ela. Look, this is Hashem's people. Omei Arzo Yatzo'u. And yet they left his land. They had to leave his land. Why? Because they went into Golus. So in other words, Rashi says that's exactly the point. When you have a person does these kinds of things and Hashem punishes them, and Bechlal you have on a national level, it happens to the Jewish people collectively, including to the Chachamim. So people think, the Goyim think, that look, this is Am Hashem, and yet he couldn't save them, so that reduces Hashem's cover. So you have to act in a way that should cause a Kiddush Hashem and not the opposite. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, the Gemara is mentioning over here a person that caught up a shonim v'shimish tamen chachamim only because if he's stam a yid off the street and people see him acting badly, that's not going to lead them to discredit Torah. Yeah. Nowadays, really, this applies more generally to any person who has the appearance of a frum yid, and frankly, a lot of times even when they don't have the appearance of a frum yid. So nowadays we're not necessarily talking about somebody who went through all of the system and came out of a consummate Talmud Chacham Stam, a yid who walks down the street with a yarmulke and a beard and payas and whatever. Then yeah, you have the same kind of thing. He has to make sure to act in a way that'll bring a Kiddush Hashem. Okay.
Yeah, here's Kavanah Torah.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah. Okay. Onward, going back to, so now that the Mishnah had talked about the importance of Tshuva, so now the Gemara is going to go into talking about a big piece of Agada on the importance of Tshuva and on what it accomplishes. So first, Amar Abchama Brav Chanina, G'doyla Tshuva Shemavir Refuah La'olam. Tshuva is a tremendous thing. It brings healing to the world. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Shuvu Vanim Shovavim. Hashem says, "Return, you wayward, you stubborn children." Erpa v'goymer, and I will heal. So that shows that by returning, that by returning, Hashem is saying that by doing tshuva, Hashem is saying, "I will heal you." So in other words, so therefore, we see that tshuva brings healing. Marsha has a different girsa that the Gemara is not bringing that pasuk, but rather a different pasuk. Erpa Meshuvasam, Hashem says at the end of Hosea, we read it on Shabbos Tshuva, appropriately enough. Where the pasuk says Erpa Meshuvasam, Hashem says I will heal their backsliding. Oyavim the Dova, and I'll love them with a free love. So we see also that Tshuva is described as healing. Now Marsha points out the vote is that the other psukim that talk about healing in connection with tshuva could be talking about that maybe healing is being used as a metaphor for tshuva. So therefore, it's not a strong proof from there that you actually have healing is brought to the world by tshuva. But when you have the pasuk, when you have the pasuk erpa meshuvasam, implying, in other words, Marsha says the implication is that there still is some meshuva left. There's still some like a scar left over from the avera, and nevertheless, even the beginning, or it's even still meshuvasam. He's still in a state of backsliding. He's still in a state of being somewhat disobedient to Hashem. Nevertheless, already erpa. Nevertheless, there's already a healing because tshuva brings healing to the world. In what ways that's in what way does Teshuvah bring healing to the world? Ion Yaakov points out one point of it may mean that when people do Teshuvah, then Hashem makes it possible for doctors to discover new cures. You have all the time when doctors are discovering new treatments and new cures for things. So Ion Yaakov says that means through a person's Teshuvah, Hashem brings about, let's say he himself was sick with a certain illness, and then the doctors didn't know what to do for it. Now they'll be able to discover something, and once they discover it for him, then of course it affects. It's good for everybody else as well. So yeah, that's maybe before la'olam, not just for him personally. Wow. So the Gemara continues. Rav Chama bar Chanina Rami. He also pointed out a contradiction between two pesukim. Ksiv shuvu vanim shovavim. One pasuk says, "Return, you wayward children." One person, Mepashtos said one person is another mother. Yeah.
One person would do a proper good shoe, that would bring Mashiach.
This is also true. So Rav Chama bar Chanina Rami. Ksiv shuvu vanim shovavim. One pasuk says, "Return, you wayward children." Now that implies that even after you do tshuva, you're still going to be considered shovavim. There's still going to be some remnant left of your aveva. On the other hand, you have the pasuk erpa meshuvay seichem, which implies that he's like a baal mum, or the other way around. Actually, Rashi explains shuvavonim shovavim implies you won't be shovavim anymore. Demeikra shovavim atem. Before you were shovavim, before you were wayward and disobedient, but now you're going to be a whole new metzius. As opposed to erpa meshuvay seichem implies that even after I heal you meshuvay seichem, there's still going to be some remnant of your disobedience left. And the answer is like Kasha, Kan Me'ava, Kan Me'ira. It depends whether he does Tshuva Me'ava or Tshuva Me'ira. Tshuva Me'ava, then it's as if the Aveira never existed. And later on, even the Gemara talks about that even it can become a Zdonis Nasa like Kazophius. Whereas here we're talking about Me'ira, so therefore there's still something left of it. Similar, the Omer of Yehuda, Omer of Yehuda, Rav Ami Rami. Similarly, you have Rav Yehuda, Rav Ami pointed out another contradiction between Pesukim. Here you have one pasuk that says, "You return, you disobedient children. I will heal your waywardness," which implies that Balei Teshuva are called Hashem's children. But then you have another pasuk. Hashem says, "Ki anochi ba'alti vachem." So a couple of psukim later, Hashem says, "I have dominated you," like a baal is like a master over a slave. I'll bring you back, even if it's only one from a whole city or two from a whole family that have done tshuva. I'll pick you out from among everybody else and bring you back. So and there, since it says ba'alti vachem, then Rashi explains. So the implication is Hashem is calling them avadim. So what is it? Are baalei tshuva like bonim or like avadim? And the answer is like Kasha, Kan me'ava umiyira, or umiyira, kan alidei surim. It depends. Was the tshuva through ava, or at least through yira? Fine, tshuva me'yira is not as great as tshuva me'ava, but it's still a lot better than, it's still a higher kind of tshuva, and therefore that makes the person deserving to be called Hashem's child. On the other hand, kan alidei surim, if the only way the tshuva happened was through yisurim, then we're saying that the person has only reached the level of an eved and not the level of a ben yet. That's Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi brings a different... Yisurim is Evel. Yisurim is Evel. Would be Bonim, right. Rashi gives a second explanation, which is that the Gemara is pointing out the contradiction between the Pesukim, where one Pesuk implies, according to Rashi's second Girsa, the Gemara did not first quote the word Shuvo Bonim Shovim, but rather a different Pesuk that says Shuvo Elaivo or Shuvo Aleichem. Hashem says, "Return to me, and I will return to you." In other words, that pasuk is implying that you, Jewish people, have to make the first move. Yeah. On the other hand, ki anochi ba'alti b'chem would imply that Hashem makes the first move. So then the answer is, the answer would be that to kan me'ava u'miyira, then Hashem is saying I have to take the first step, as opposed to, when you have me'avo v'yira, then it means you've taken the first step. On the other hand, ayde yisurim, then it means ki anochi ba'alti b'chem. Hashem is saying I have to force the issue by bringing yisurim. So according to Rashi's second explanation, that's what the Gemara is pointing out, the contradiction in resolving. Rashi himself doesn't like that second explanation. However, Marsha says that actually that second explanation is that second explanation fits very nicely with what we have in the Gemara and Sanhedrin on the subject of how is Mashiach going to come. You have the opinion Ein Yisrael on the Golan Ela B'Tshuva, Yavir Eliezer saying over there Ein Yisrael on the Golan Ela B'Tshuva, and Rabbi Yehud and Rabbi Yeshua saying to them, what about this pasuk? And the Gemara brings over there, it's a different Gersalis over there, whether it's Rabbi Yeshua or Rabbi Eliezer saying that Hashem will bring Melech Kasher Kahaman, and that'll force the issue. So then our Gemara is fitting with that point over here. Here Hashem is saying, on the one hand, he's saying Shuvu Vanim Shavim, meaning you take the first step and come to tshuva. On the other hand, Hinei Anochi Ba'alti Bachem, that Hashem is saying, I am dominating you and I'm going to force the issue by bringing a Melech Kasher Kahaman. And again, then the answer would be, depends what motivation for tshuva they have. So one way or the other, have Yisrael Oisin Shuvah or Miyad Hein Nigolin, but how that Shuvah is going to be motivated, there are different possibilities. Now we see in the last couple of months, we have the Melech Kasher Kahaman, and indeed it has caused an enormous amount of, it's caused an enormous amount of Shuvah that didn't exist before. So that's, you know, it's Yisrael and in the whole world at large because of that. Yeah.
Email from a lady. Yeah. We give candles. Mm-hmm. A lady take a plant, buy the candles, uh-huh. And we ship it for free. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. So we got an email from a lady. She's in a place in America that the whole place is totally left. Mm-hmm. Not only left, they're against Israel.
Yeah.
She decided she wants to start lighting candles. She searched on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And she found us. So we asked her to confirm what's your mother's name. She took her 3-4 days to figure out the mother's name is Sal. So I'm going to ship out the candles.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying it's unbelievable.
Yeah, there's an enormous amount of Yisrael Scrubba that has been in the last couple of months, ever since Simchas Torah. So yeah, this is an example where Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Yeshua, according to the different Gersois, is saying over there that Hashem, if need be, will force the issue because you have people who otherwise might not have done Tshuva, but Hashem is causing things to happen that motivates them to do Tshuva in a way that they might not have before. Yeah. That's what we're talking about, yeah. Okay, the Gemara goes on. Amar Rav Levi, G'dola tshuva shemagas ad kisei hakavod. Tshuva is a tremendous thing. It reaches all the way up to the kisei hakavod. Now, what does that mean? On one level, it means exactly that. In other words, you have Hashem's kisei hakavod is very high up, and tshuva is so great that it reaches even to that. You have the example the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin when involving Menashe Melech Yehuda, where the Malachim were trying to block his tshuva, and Hashem Kaviyachal had to dig a tunnel under the Kodesh, under the kisei hakavod to accept his tshuva. Rabbeinu Hananel on this Gemara explains it also means even if the person's Aveira is so serious that it reaches all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. For example, the person was denying Elikus, that reaches all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. Nevertheless, Tshuva can undo that. And Marsha talks about over here that the vort is that usually you have to have malachim that bring a person's mitzvahs and averus in front of Hashem. You have malachim that have to bring his tefillos in front of Hashem. You have defending malachim, accusing malachim, and so on and so forth. Here we're saying tshuva, you don't need any of that. It just bypasses all the malachim and goes straight to the kisei hakavod. Shenema, as the pasuk says, shuva Yisrael ad Hashem alekecha begomer. As the pasuk says, return Yisrael until Hashem you're gone. That means that your tshuva goes straight until up to Hashem. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan Omer ad v'loy ad bichlal. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says, as great as tshuva is, when we say ad, doesn't mean it reaches all the way to Hashem, to the kisei hakavod. It means it reaches v'loy ad bichlal. It doesn't quite make it there. It goes to a very high level, but not quite that much. So the Gemara asks, to me, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Hochi, did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? And by the way, this whole piece that's in parenthesis over here is not in the printed Gemara. In the printed Gemara, it just has Rabbi Yochanan's next statement is given as a separate statement, not directly related to what we had before, only here in Ein Yaakov, are they tied in together over here? So the question is, didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, G'dola tshuva shedoiches loise sesha b'torah? You want to know how great tshuva is? It overrides a loisese in the Torah. Shenema, you have like this. We know that the Torah tells us that if a woman was married and then divorced from her husband and she remarries somebody else, she's never allowed to return to her first husband. Right. Now, however, the Navi says, Yirmiya says, Lamer, it's said, you can look in the Torah and you can see it said, Hey Yishalach Isha Sishto, imagine a man divorces his wife, Vahocha Me'ita, and she goes and she leaves him, Vahoisa Le'ishacha Begomer, and she marries another man. Can she ever return to her first husband? No. But the pasuk continues, nevertheless, even though you Jewish people have acted like that, you've acted as though Hashem has divorced you and you've gone and worshipped Getchkes, nevertheless, v'shoiv elai ne'um Hashem, Hashem says you can return to me. So in other words, so we see that Tshuva in that sense is overriding this loisese and saying that we say that even though the Jewish people have been mizana and ought to by rights be also, so to speak, to their husband, nevertheless, they're not. So we see from that also that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you can be just as close as you were before. Maharsho explains the point of the question is, in other words, if we're saying, what are we saying when we say so like we said, like Maharsho said, it means that there don't need to be any emtsoyim. You don't need any intermediaries to bring your tshuva to the Eibush, that goes flies straight up there. Well, on the other hand, here we have first Rabbi Yochanan saying ad v'loy ad b'chlal. It doesn't quite reach all the way up to Hashem. It needs malachim to bring them. But here we see from this pasuk that we're quoting from Yirmiyah that the Jewish people can go back to their same level of closeness to Hashem, like a husband and wife, where you don't need any go-betweens between them. So what is Rabbi Yochanan saying? What's the story after Tshuva? Do there still need to be go-betweens or do there not? And the answer is like Kasha, Habi Yochin, Habi Tzibur. The answer is, one's talking about when a yochid does tshuva, the other the tzibur, so the tzibur's tshuva is much more powerful, and therefore that's the Navi is saying that Hashem will accept you with the same degree of ava that he had before, as opposed to when a yochid does tshuva, then his tshuva is all very nice and all, but he still needs amtsoyim, he still needs the malachim to help bring his tshuva to Hashem. Although Rabbeinu Chananel, that's how Maharsho understands it, although it seems that Rabbeinu Chananel maybe actually understands it the other way around, that when the tzibur does tshuva, there's always like something left over there, because after all, it was a whole tzibur that went wrong, whereas a yochid might be able to go directly up to Hashem.
What's it mean here, tzibur? Then, you know,
a tzibur means the whole tzibur, but that's just the majority of the Jewish people, yeah.
One person can do tshuva can turn the whole world.
Yeah, one person doing tshuva, yeah. Tshuva is a tremendous thing. It brings Geula, or a different gear set. It's in the Gemara. It brings the Geula closer. Shenema is the pasuk that says, Volatzion Goel, a redeemer will come to Tzion, Olashove Fesha B'Yakov, and to those who have returned, who have done Tshuva from their rebellious Averis among Yaakov. So those two things go together. My time, Volatzion Goel, why is the Goel going to come to Tzion? Mishrum, Olashove Pesha B'Yakov, because you have people among Yaakov, and Yaakov mean the lower level of the Jewish people, and that they were Pesha, that they were deliberately rebelling against Hashem, and nevertheless, Shove, they do Tshuva, and therefore that brings a Volatzion Goel. And Amar Rabbi Yonasan, G'dayla Tshuva, Shema Karevas Gula La'olam. He was another pasuk that shows that Tshuva brings Gula closer to the world. Shenema, Hashem says, Shimru Mishpat V'asu Tzedaka, guard Mishpat, the Mishpatim of the Torah, V'asu Tzedaka, and do Tzedaka, and both of these things are part of Tshuva. Throughout Sefer Yeshaya, he's telling the people you're failing to do mishpat, you're failing to do tzedakah, and therefore Hashem is upset with you. So here now, when the opposite, they're going to be judging, they're going to be watching mishpat and doing tzedakah, then that's their tshuva. It's called where a person does tshuva, as the Rambam gives the example. You know, when a person is in the same situation as he was before and has the same abilities and he does as he does before, and so on and so forth, and now he does the exact opposite. That's the highest level of tshuva. So that's the shimur mishpat v'asu tzedakah. And Hashem continues, ki krovei shuasi lavoi, because my saving is close to come, v'tzidkasi lehigolos, and my tzedakah is very near to being revealed. So we see that the tshuva of shimur mishpat v'asu tzedakah is going to bring the geula very quickly. Amen. Yom Yom Mashiach Geula, Chav Zayin Tavis. You have the pasuk that describes Mashiach. It says Ki Yoldat Tzion is Ki Cholagam Yoldat Tzion is Banel. Tzion, personified as a mother, has been in labor and given birth to her sons. So specifically, why we're mentioning sons is because giving birth to a boy represents the power of a boy being stronger, represents the power of the Gola Mitzvah Shlema, which is Gola Mitzchis, the eternal Gola, where there's no Golos after it, that Gola through Mashiach Tzidkein. So in other words, the V'yolda Zachar, also in the Torah, when it says Isha Kizazriya, V'yolda Zachar, this was actually from a Sicha of Parshas Tazriya Metzora. So the V'yolda Zachar represents the birth and the revelation of the Neshama of Mashiach, which comes from the highest level, from Alma de Dechor. Continuing on Halachos of Kiddush, when you've made Kiddush, you should drink at least Kimloy Lugmav without a break from the cup. Kimloy lugmav was defined as the amount that it would take to fill up one cheek. Maloy lugmav literally means both cheekfuls, but the Gemara explains that it means because when you look from the side, when you see one cheek full, you think the other one is also. It's defined as Kimloy lugmav is defined as most of a revius. The best thing is that everybody should taste from the Kosher Bracha. Now, if somebody doesn't drink wine for whatever reason, because of a neder, or because it's bad for him or whatever, then he shouldn't make kiddush on wine, having in mind that other people will drink. However, according to the Alter Rebbe, he could do exactly that. He could make kiddush with the intention that somebody else will drink when he's not going to drink because it's bad for his health or whatever. Another halacha in this regard, kiddush wine is considered part of tzorchei asoda. It's part of the necessities of a meal because you can't have a meal on Shabbos without making kiddush first. Therefore, you don't make an after brach after it because it'll be covered by birkas hamazon. However, there are poskim who hold that it doesn't. Therefore, ideally, if to follow those poskim, you would have to drink after birkas hamazon, make a bracha on a cup of wine, if you're going to be benching ala kos anyway, and drink a revius, and then when you make a bracha achrona, you would also have in mind the cup of kiddush. Lamaisa, I don't think we see very many people doing that unless they're making a mezuman ala kos anyhow, because the fact is the Alter Rebbe does paskin that it is mitzorchei asoda and therefore it is covered by the bracha achrona. As far as when you drink wine during the soda, that you also don't have to make a bracha because then that's covered by the bar priya gofen of kiddush. It is tzorchei asoda, but on the other hand, it is a thing of its own. It does have a certain status of its own, and usually also tzorchei asoda is usually things that are besoich asoda. Here, it's not besoich asoda; it's before it. So there would be reason to there is a basis to argue then that it's not that it's not covered. But since the majority opinion is that it is, so therefore you don't have to make an after bracha. Therefore you don't make an after bracha because suffic bracha is lahakol. But you don't necessarily have to do this thing of drinking a cup of wine afterwards to be motzi it. If you drink during the sud, that's the next thing he said, that you don't make a bracha because that's definitely covered by the bar priya gofen of kiddush.